I'm investigative journalist and former deputy sheriff, Scott Weinberg.
And I'm Anasiga Nicolazzi, former New York City homicide prosecutor.
Each week on our podcast, Anatomy of Murder, we give you the inside perspective as we dissect the layers of each case, the victim, the crime, and the investigation.
You'll hear from victims, loved ones, and those actually involved in the journeys to justice.
Because the heart of each of these cases and this podcast is people.
Listen to Anatomy of Murder now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Adjustable firmness on each side helps keep you asleep and improves your sleep quality. My husband sleeps at a very firm 100, and lately I've been keeping my sleep number at 45. Neither of us has to couch sleep or go to the guest room if we need a different type of support. With just the click of a button, I have exactly the bed I need night after night. Discover the Sleep Number Smart Bed, the only bed that lets you adjust each side to your ideal firmness and comfort, your Sleep Number setting. Sleep better together, only at Sleep Number Store or sleepnumber.com.
Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes. And it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security. The system blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. My family has used SimpliSafe Home Security for years now, and we could not be happier or more protected. SimpliSafe has given many listeners real peace of mind. You should have it too. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/crimejunkie. That's simplisafe.com/crimejunkie. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Hi, Crime Junkies. I'm your host, Ashley Flowers.
And I'm Conan O'Brien.
Surprise! I have a special guest today. I actually got to sit down with Conan on his show, Conan Needs a Friend. That episode is actually available now if you want to listen. It's in the show notes. I link right out to it. But as we've been celebrating 5 years of Crime Junkie, I've been finding out more and more people from all walks of life are crime junkies. Like you, Conan. You're a crime junkie.
You know, I have to say, it is something that I think is more prevalent than anybody has. We all want to figure these things out.
Yeah.
And we all think that given the information, we could figure it out. And so I love it. I've been fascinated by true crime for such a long time.
So like, what was your, how does that happen?
I mean, take it from any angle. And I think the book that had a huge effect on me when I was young was I read In Cold Blood, Truman Capote's In Cold Blood. And he really did invent this genre. What does he call it? It's truthful. It's written like fiction, but it's a real story.
Yeah. And he did it from like the dual perspectives as well, which was so interesting.
Right.
For a true crime book.
Right. So you get the perspective of the Clutter family, and then you get the perspective of Hickok and Perry. And of course, it's Truman Capote, so it's some of the best writing you'll ever come across. It's absolutely beautiful and such a sad story. And one of the things that freaked me out was the randomness of it.
Mm.
And I think that's something that grabbed me is when you're reading the accounts, this family, the Clutter family, they're as normal as you can get. And they just go to bed for the night. And they live in a town where nobody locks their door. And this is completely inconceivable. And they all go to sleep thinking, well, I'll see you tomorrow. And then these two people show up at whatever, 1 o'clock in the morning, at midnight, one. And to me, that was incredibly chilling. That, you know, if you're young and this idea that someone could come into your home.
How young were you when you read it?
I was two. It was the first book I read.
Yeah.
They taught it.
It was like Goodnight Moon. And then
I read in Goodnight Moon first, which then I was like, this isn't scary. And then I read In Cold Blood.
That's
and right. Then I went right to Crime and Punishment. no, I can't. I think I would have been in high school when I read it, but I just was, you know. And I think there's so many crimes. I think the ones that really fascinate me are when a completely normal life is completely upended in this insane way. Mm-hmm. Those ones can kind of shock me more. Mm-hmm. And when you're a kid, the idea that someone could come into your house randomly.
And
it was so random, too. Hickok and Perry, they had this goofy information that there was a lot of money in this farmhouse. Well, there wasn't. And there was really, later on, no reason for them to think that there was. They had heard like a rumor in prison. Mm-hmm. And then they said, okay, we're going to go and get this money from a farm. What? And they were convinced there was a wall safe filled with money. Well, there wasn't. And Mr. Clutter was trying to tell them, I don't have any money here. I don't have a wall safe.
And how does it escalate to you kill the entire family?
Well, that has always, and you see this in a lot of cases where you take, I think this was Capote's thesis, and I think it holds out, which is that if you take disparate people, you know, you and I separately might not hurt anybody. Mm. But if Ashley and Conan meet up and strike up a friendship at a Starbucks and we start hanging out, we might together make a killing machine. And you see that. You see that again and again and again, where Leopold and Loeb individually wouldn't have done anything. But together...
it's toxic.
It's toxic. They each one can trigger something in the other that doesn't exist independently. So that's a freaky thing.
Yeah. When we were talking about you coming on the show, I'm like, I mean, he's a comedian. Like, we're not laughing over here. And someone told me about you going to the List trial.
Yes, yes.
Is that real?
Yeah, this is real. A lot of your listeners know it's, I mean, it's such a famous crime, but I think it's, I want to say 1971, John List, living in New Jersey. He's got a daughter and I think two or three sons. Wife, mother lives with them. And it's been the basis of so many different stories.
Yeah.
But he loses his job, doesn't tell anybody he's lost his job, and just keeps going off to, quote, work. But he's just hanging out at the train station.
Always the biggest red flag.
Yes.
The second someone, I've seen this over and over, the second someone's lying about going to work, going to school, whatever, the next thing they're going to do is kill their family.
Right. I have not told my wife that I ended my talk show a year and a half ago. I just keep going and saying, well, we had a great show today. And she doesn't know that
she was never watching it anyways.
Yes. Oh, not a fan. Not a fan.
My husband doesn't listen to my show. It's fine.
That's really funny because people are constantly saying, oh, and so Conan, is your wife coming to see you do this thing tonight? And I laugh.
No.
She has a life. Yeah. And she hears this shtick at home and she's not having it. So List is running out of money and then conveniently decides that his children are going down a path that will lead them to hell. And the only thing that he can do to save them is to kill them now.
I also see this a lot, too, it's like the worst thing you can do. But I can't tell you how many times this is a little unique, but it's like, oh, well, we don't believe in divorce and I don't want to be ostracized. So I'm just going to kill my husband.
I know. It's madness how often. I mean, there have been whole wars fought just because people thought I must do God's bidding. And so some of the worst things in the history of the world have been done in the name of this is what God would want. When really, if you just scratch the surface, it's really because it seems like it's a good idea for you. You get all the insurance money.
Yeah.
And
you didn't die.
Yeah, you didn't die. Exactly. And now you're marrying that woman that you had your eye on who's at the perfume counter.
Mm-hmm.
I just made that up. Although I've been going to this perfume counter a lot lately. And you're like, why are you at a perfume counter? Anyway, so I think that's fascinating that he came to this conclusion, I think out of his own self-interest, but he dressed it up. And then again, you just imagine these kids coming home from school one by one and he kills them all. He starts by killing his mother, then he kills his wife, and then he waits for the kids to come home one by one. And then he, this is the creepiest touch. He lays them all out in this big ballroom and he calls the schools and says, we're taking a vacation. We will be gone for a while. And then he turns on the sound system in the home, which plays like this funereal. It's set to this like channel that plays funereal music. This is back before, Sirius XM, but you can play. There's a funeral channel.
That was a beautiful plug.
Yeah. Beautifully. It's right above mine. 107 funeral music. It's also the lithium channel. It's the same kind of music. But anyway, the thing that fascinates me is he leaves and he gets away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't find the bodies for 8 weeks or 9 weeks. So anyway, flash forward to he's missing. And then finally, I think it was on America's Most Wanted, they did a reconstruction of what he would look like today. And they got his face out there. And someone said, wait a minute, I know him. They arrest him. He denies he's that person, which really takes guts.
Yeah.
And then they say, by the way, can we see if there's a birthmark or, on your left thigh? And he says, yeah, okay,
you got me.
You got me. So the trial starts. I am fascinated by this story. At the time, I'm a writer on Saturday Night Live. And so I'm in New York and the trial's in New Jersey. So I drive over to New Jersey and I've never done this before or since. And I walk in and I get a seat. I wanted to see this guy.
And it wasn't like packed. Like I think about some of the trials today that were that big and you can't get a seat in the court. Like, they're literally like auctioning them off.
I called ahead, VIP seating. No, I didn't. I remembered it was not that hard to get seating. So maybe this was before. I mean, today it would be very different.
And you went every day?
I didn't go every day. I think I went twice. And I was looking at this guy because I was trying to figure out, will I see something in him? Like you want to see this great, intense horror. And all you see when you look at these people are their pencil pushers. Mm-hmm. And
you want to think that everyone else missed it.
Yes.
And that you could spot if it was in front of you.
Right. But I was there at that trial looking at List. And of course, many years had gone by, but you could tell he was just, he was someone who could, I don't know, you could see him anywhere and you wouldn't think anything. Mm-mm. And he seemed kind of bored by the proceedings. And I think he knew the jig was up. It's not like he's going to be found innocent. I think he even was still going with his plea that he was trying to save their souls, I believe.
Well, there was no doubting if it was him. He like literally left a letter there that was
He wrote his pastor and said, yep. I think this is the right thing to do. And I'm sure you'd agree.
Yeah.
So that's one that really got my imagination going.
It was almost the perfect crime. Everyone was distracted, their attention elsewhere. Stacks of cold, hard cash sitting on the table, unguarded. Who wouldn't be tempted to slowly reach their hand out and steal a pile of Monopoly money from the banker? Monopoly is one of those games that can bring out everyone's most devious selves. And Monopoly Go takes that gleeful mischievousness to your phone in a wildly popular twist on the classic that you can play throughout your day, anywhere, anytime. Collect rent from friends on iconic properties. Bankrupt them by pulling a heist on their vault. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with friends to unlock big prizes and try to top the leaderboards. Whether you're helping out your friends or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is an absolute blast. Download it now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Receiving a gift from a loved one is always a nice surprise. But you know what you do get when you're shopping for yourself? Exactly what you wanted. Especially when it comes to something as personal as jewelry. And if you're buying jewelry for yourself, there is no better place to do it than BlueNile.com. Take it from a girl who knows. Blue Nile offers thousands of independently graded diamonds and fine jewelry at prices significantly below traditional retail. I've gotten necklaces, rings, earrings, all from Blue Nile. Some of them were gifts, some of them for myself, and all of it has been a win. You can't beat the ease of convenience of shopping at Blue Nile. They also offer peace of mind with every purchase, with 30-day returns and a diamond price match guarantee. Go to BlueNile.com to find the perfect piece today. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
I am obsessed with this idea of a family annihilator because that is one of, I don't really spend a lot of the time with the like, why do they do what they do? Because I always think these people aren't operating in logic the way that I am. So you can't. Like, so why I understand crazy, I'd rather focus my energy somewhere else. But with these, this is one where I really want to get inside their head because you see like the Chris Watts who killed his family and it's not like they, it wasn't the having the kids and they, when they're babies, it's like your kids are 8, 9, 10. I mean, List kids were even in their teens.
Yeah.
Like how do you raise these kids their whole life and then be the one to do that? There's something about that I cannot understand, but I wish they would study it more. Not that you could prevent it, but.
I have to say there's one I would like to get your take on because usually you can figure it out. When I say you can figure it out, I mean detectives, professionals find out all this information and you more or less know what happened most of the time. There's one case that it's a terrible, terrible case. It's very famous. And I just don't know what happened. It's never made any sense to me. And that's JonBenet Ramsey. Mm. It doesn't make sense. And I was doing my late night show when it happened. And I remembered the apartment I was living in and hearing about this and thinking, this is, you know, terrible. What happened here? And then never found any satisfying explanation for what could have happened. And I thought, well, maybe Ashley will know or have an idea of what happened.
I know. So this was actually my entry into true crime. I always say that I was tabloid height. At mm-hmm. the time when this happened, I was about her age. Mm-hmm. And I remember literally being in the grocery store with her looking back at me, blonde hair, blue eyes, like I was at the time. And that when the way it scared you, if it could happen anywhere, someone could come into my home. Again, someone came into her home and I'm like, wow, someone like me, like this doesn't just happen to adults. Someone would want to kill a kid.
Right.
And I wasn't old enough to like dive into it at that time. And obviously I have in the years since. It's one of those cases that has just been covered and recovered and dissected every which way.
Right.
And to your point, that's what's so weird is you can dissect it every which way and things still don't make sense.
They don't make sense. And so much of the suspicion of the parents began with, well, they don't seem right in interviews. And I'm always very suspicious of that because, well, how is someone supposed to seem? Some people don't emote the way other people emote. That always bothers me. You know, if parents lose their child, it's, you know, it's the most horrible thing anybody could imagine. And then to have people say, and maybe you did it because the way you talked on Oprah, something seemed a little off.
So up. We covered this other case when we were on tour of another little girl who is six. Her name is Isabel Celis in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And she, in the middle of the night, was taken from out of her window, disappeared. Years and years, they didn't know what happened. It was the same thing. Like, people were coming for the family, specifically her dad, because he did some weird stuff. He was on the news. They didn't like how he was talking. They avoided the news for so long. And everyone's saying, well, if you didn't do it, you got to, like, why aren't you asking for help? You're trying to hide things. And there was this interview with her mom where she can just barely keep it together. And she's like, I don't want to be here. I want to be with my daughter. I don't want to be asking you for anything. I would be a wreck if something happened to my kid. And to your point, to have people judging you because you didn't cry the right way, or you were crying too much, or it felt fake, or you didn't use the right words. So that's a case where we've never covered it on our show. And I don't think I would, because it's one that, again, has had no shortage of coverage. People know it. At this point, there's nothing I can add unless there's like a call to action. There's some DNA that they want tested at this point. There was just an article recently where the prosecutor or the law enforcement came out and said they're kind of waiting for the technology to get better before they do that. What I have said openly is I don't think the family had anything to do with it. I think that they were traumatized on top of trauma and things have gotten so mucked up.
And the crime scene was
a disaster.
It was a disaster. You know, we do also live in this age where everybody can get involved. Everybody can go online. Everybody can access the information. Everybody can have a theory. And that can cloud things, too, because there's way too many perspectives at a certain point.
And perspectives that actually don't have the whole story. Like what we have from news articles and on web sleuths is like the more that I've actually worked with family and investigators and seen real case files, I'm like, you get the tip of the iceberg and it's really easy to make assumptions when you don't see everything underneath. And it's also wild how if you look at a specific case, I'm working on one right now where there are five people. And if I just told you about one suspect, you're like, hands down, they did it, lock them up. And you would say that exact same thing about all five people. That's the only one you heard about.
Right.
And it's wild.
I remember another one that grabbed me at a very young age was the Manson murders. Obviously, one of the biggest stories of all time. But that one grabbed me because when you think about what the police walked in on, you know, in August of 69 at the Polanski Tate home. And what they see is just this insane scene. And what they all say is, well, it's, you know, young people, Hollywood types. It was probably a drug deal gone wrong. And there's this chilling footage of Polanski giving a news conference. And he's like crying and he's saying, you're wrong. This Sharon wasn't like that. And this is before anybody starts to put it together. This is before Susan Atkins talks in prison. This is before they start reconstructing this whole insane series of events that led to these two nights of murder. And you couldn't imagine ever unless you knew for certain that this had happened, never in a million years you'd think, okay, this starts with a guy who's in and out of jail for most of his life. He was a hippie kind of cult leader. He wanted to be in music, but Terry Melcher told him no. He's getting increasingly frustrated, so he comes up with this theory. And then, you know, the twists and turns it takes to get that group of people to the Polanski Tate home in that night in 1969 is so insane. Mm-hmm. And so 75 dominoes have to fall the wrong way to make this happen. And the idea that they were able to put it all together and figure out exactly what happened is...
it's kind of impressive.
It's very impressive, yeah.
I mean, that's so much of the problem, to your point about the JonBenet Ramsey case getting mucked up, is like, the case is only good as the investigators that are working on it, who are only as good as the guys who taught them. And everyone's like very human. And that's where I see so much stuff going wrong, is just mishandling a scene, mishandling an investigation. That's what's made me cynical about the true crime space. It's not that there's evil in the world. There always will be. It's more of how it gets handled after the fact. Because when you're young, you think like, well, there's police and then there's the court system and everything's gonna be fine. And everything's not fine.
Yeah. And also, on the flip side of that, defense attorneys have gotten very good at always attacking the police.
Mm-hmm. So what is your, like, must watch, listen, your go-to guide as a crime junkie? Like,
well, the one that's, I travel a lot. First thing I do when I get into my hotel room a lot of times is, if I don't have anything to do and I want to detox, is I flop down on the bed and I turn on the TV and I scroll. 50% chance I'll find a Forensic Files marathon.
Or a Law and Order SVU.
Yeah, I prefer the Forensic Files.
Those are the two things on TV anytime I'm in a hotel room.
Yeah. And so I will watch Forensic Files. And I've even come to love the late 80s clothing. And there's a cheesy kind of production value to it because these things are really old, but they have a lot of them and they run them and it's like potato chips. Once you start, each one is about 25 minutes and then it ends with, she couldn't speak, but from beyond the grave, her DNA told the story. Coming up, you know, they were eating Christmas dinner when there was a knock at the door. Sadly, it wasn't Santa. And then you're right. I'm like, oh, I got to watch that. And I've been late for dinner. I've been late for gigs. I've been late for jobs that I'm supposed to do because I had to find out, was it the guy from the shoe store, you know, with the eye patch, or wasn't it? And so those always get me going. The Forensic Files.
That's so unique. Like, I got in that way too. Usually you hear like unsolved mysteries. For me, it was like America's Most Wanted.
Right.
But I love that you're a Forensic Files.
Well, one of the reasons I like Forensic Files is it's not a lot of they have some kind of mini recreations, but I like to see like, oh, there's actual footage of the crime scene and you can see. So I'll take that every time because then you can, I don't know, that fires my sense of, wait, maybe I can figure this out.
You're like super into this. So how did you end up in comedy and not as like your own detective?
They're not mutually exclusive, let's put it that way. To be a comedian and I'd be a terrible detective because I'd be doing bits all the time. You know, I'd be like, oh, well, what happened here? You know, and they would say, well, we found the body and, you know, and I would be
acting. The comedy won out, basically.
The comedy won out.
Yeah.
You
can do a sketch and not talk about serial killers, but you couldn't hunt a serial killer and not do comedy.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the dominant gene was the comedy gene.
If you have a baby who's always on the move, you have to try Pampers Cruisers 360. They're perfect for any active baby, thanks to a unique 360-degree stretch waistband that makes it easy to change your wiggly baby fast. And listen, wiggly baby sounds cute. I had a wiggly baby before. She would squirm and coo, but I could scoop up her little legs with one hand and wipe the tush. I didn't realize until like a week ago that that's not what Pampers meant, because I now have an almost 2-year-old. It's full on rolling and kicking. I have about 4 seconds to get that diaper on before hits the fan, literally. And thank God Pampers Cruisers 360 are quick to get on and stay on, because that's a new problem too. She knows how to open, unzip, unbutton, all the things, but Pampers Cruisers 360 have no tabs, so it helps prevent your baby from taking off their own diaper. So what else you got, Josie? Mom's ready for you. I've got my Pampers Cruisers 360. And if you do too, you can download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards. Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Redeem Pampers Cash, no cash value. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Stay connected this winter with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered internet for just $19.99 per month with all-in pricing for 2 years. But that's not all. Your first month is on us. This deal gets better with a free modem and installation, along with free Wi-Fi your way whole home coverage. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and keep all your devices connected and secured with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires March 3rd, 2024. Learn more at Breezeline.com.
There's a really good thing. I'm sure you've watched it and people have watched it, but it's the, what is it? Is it The Family Next Door? It's the case like 2 years ago or 3 years ago where a husband calls in and says his wife and kids.
Oh, that's the Chris Watts, American Family.
Oh, okay. There you go. Chris Watts. Yeah. One of the things that I saw with the Chris Watts one was they came out with it on one of these streaming services.
Netflix.
I forget where. Netflix. And they have all the body cam footage. Now, I find that fascinating because now knowing what we know, I'm able to, and this is a rare thing for your fans to check out if they haven't checked it out. How does someone behave when they have footage from the cop's policeman's body cam of he pulls up to the house, he walks up, he knocks on the door, a neighbor is with Chris and Chris Watts is there, and he starts asking questions. And at this point, he's just from the policeman's point of view, everyone's point of view, he's just a dad who wonders where his wife and kids are. But now that we know that he's killed them all the night before and driven them out to this oil field and stuffed the bodies in a pipe, when you look at that footage, I find it riveting because one thing I notice is his arms are crossed almost the entire time. I don't know if you noticed that, but...
Which is really like protective.
Yeah, yeah. And there's so many shows now where they question people and they release the footage of the questioning session. And you can know afterwards that the person did it. But at the beginning, you see the person relax. But the minute they start to ask more and more questions that close in, arms folded, it's just classic protective stance. And it's really fascinating to watch him. His arms are crossed a lot. And again, his behavior is off, and I think in that case, they were probably on to him right away. Mm-hmm. I think they were suspicious of him right away. But it's an interesting perspective to have now.
Yeah. So you can pass the judgment because we know the ending.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Once I'm sure I'm right, then I'm very judgmental.
Once you're sure you're right.
I'm curious if you have the granddaddy of them all, and it's so in the past, but Jack the Ripper.
Oh, yeah.
Jack the Ripper is kind of the granddaddy of them all because... He kind of invented it. It was letters to the press, and he had this attitude, and the crimes are horrible. Then there's no satisfying, we got him moment. And it takes place in this kind of Dickensian London that all seems very gothic and creepy and strange now, but also fascinating.
It seems so fictional.
Yeah.
It's so far away. And I have no idea what happened there. I think I don't remember the name, but I remember there was this theory that he left and came to the United States and was operating here, which would be really interesting. But I don't know. And I think I haven't gotten so hung up on that one because I don't believe we will ever know.
Like, yeah.
It's
yeah.
so long. We're not talking evidence. There is no conclusion
right.
anymore. And I think you could spin and spiral, which people have. I mean, how many books have been written? How many documentaries? It was...
Yeah, it's never going to be solved. It's a little bit, it's like the D.B. Cooper. There's just things, which isn't a murder, but it's, you don't know for sure and you never will know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never know. But that's one that still tugs every now and then. I'm like, what happened there? Who is this person?
You could have answers to one case. Like you can know everything that happened, but just for one.
Oh, wow. That's a really good man. Well, I have to say, the first one that comes to mind, which I brought up, was JonBenet Ramsey. Because it doesn't make, nothing makes sense to me there. So maybe.
Maybe that one?
Maybe that one. When I was a kid, I would have said JFK's assassination, but I subsequently did a ton of reading, and this book came out by a terrific writer named Gerald Posner. case closed, I think. And it's, you know, you read it and you go, oh, right. It's impossible that Oswald didn't do it.
Yeah.
And I know anyone listening right now, because people love to say, you don't get it, man.
I love a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, but
I understand. But sometimes they just did it.
He did it.
Yeah.
He did it. And I think you can even see now a lot of the JFK's conspiracy theorists have moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's so many conspiracy theorists you can have now about politicians in Washington that are much more insane than anything the JFK people came up that I think that
they're distracted.
People are distracted. Yeah.
They'll be distracted for a long time. Things aren't getting any better there.
Exactly. But what about you? Is there one for you?
Oh, man. I think Robert Wan. Do you know that one?
Tell me about Robert Wan.
So he was a lawyer in D.C. back in 2006. Mm-hmm. We did an episode on this. And he decides, like, it's late one night. He decides he's going to stay at his friend's townhome instead of going home. But they're, like, kind of the same distance apart. So no one knows why he decided to stay the night there. And he, like, gets in sometime at, like, 10:30, 11, whatever. He has a glass of water. He goes to bed. And 45 minutes later, the three guys that live there, one of them's calling 911 saying they found him stabbed in his bed. And police get there. All of the three guys are, like, in their robes. Like, looks like they're freshly cleaned. There's a knife sitting on the guy. But they're never able to figure out what happened. There's no forced entry. There's nothing. There's not even blood. Like, the way they stabbed him, like, it was a lot of internal bleeding, but not even everywhere else. And everyone believes that the three guys there know something, are lying, or just not telling the whole truth.
And their story is they just woke up and found him this way?
Yeah, that they were all in their rooms. They heard maybe, like, a scream or some grunting. And when they went and looked to see what was, they found him stabbed to death. They're like, we heard, oh, they also say they heard the, you know, when you, like, have an alarm system, you open the door, it, like, does those beep beeps.
Yep.
They hear that. They thought their other roommate had come home, but he's dead. The end. Like,
right.
And there's a lot of, like, wild details in there.
When did this happen? How recently?
2006.
Okay.
And so the three guys, so they're in, like, a polygamous relationship, which was, like, just sent the media off, like, wild. And the one was, like, into like BDSM stuff, and so there's all these theories about him drugging Robert and trying to, like, it is, I'm telling you, a wild one.
But these three have been questioned by everybody and they hold up?
I mean, I don't know that they hold up, but there's not enough to say anything happened.
Right, right.
So
you'd like to know what happened there.
I would love to know what happened there. I think those are the ones that are really fascinating when I'm like, there are a few people involved and there's no way you know nothing. Right, they say, you know, if you hear hooves, think horses, not zebras. But then there are the zebras in the world, right? The Israel Keys.
I think that we also live in an era where we're certain, because of technology, DNA, all the tools we have now, that, oh, we'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. And so when there's just no answer, it leaves you dumbfounded, which I think, you know, for most of mankind's history, people have had to settle with, I don't know. And about everything, including,
you know,
just, I don't know. And then in the 20th century, we've started coming up with all these incredible tools at our disposal. And people can say, no, we have, this is you using the murder victim's ATM card. And that's you, you know, we have a photograph of you. And so we get a certainty now that I think we've gotten a little spoiled by, because every now and then something happens. I mean, there was a murder. Is it a week ago, 2 weeks ago, for
the kids at
it's
campus? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's this terrible murder. And when it first happened and I read about it, I thought, well, this will be figured out really quickly, because, as you know, 99.8% of these, it's pretty clear what happened. They figure it out. This one, it's been complete radio silence. I mean, they don't seem to have any idea what happened to these four college students.
And which was a lot like the Delphi case that we had right in my backyard, which just almost 6 years later got an arrest.
Was it because of DNA evidence?
They won't say. So there's this whole drama on will they, won't they release the arrest documents, which by the time this airs, they've made a decision on that. But we don't know exactly what led to this guy being arrested. They say, so I've heard new eyes on the case. Someone just went back and saw the right thing, but I don't think it's DNA because it's been too long. If it was DNA, they would have had that a while ago, but I don't know.
DNA, pretty miraculous.
It's a miracle.
It's an insane, I know that that's a big topic for you and a cause, but it's incredible. How many cases get overturned or how many times they can say, wait, nope, not you.
Yeah.
Sorry. You can move along now. Sorry about the 8 years in prison. But, you know, it's really remarkable.
Yeah. Well, this is amazing. It was great to meet another crime junkie.
Oh, trust me.
In the podcast world.
Yeah. Well, I'm a fan and really happy that you were willing to let me hang out and let my freak flag fly.
Definitely.
For just a little bit of time. And thank you very much, Ashley.
Thank you.
You do an amazing show, and this was really fun to get to hang with you.
Oh, this is awesome. And for everyone who wants to support you as a crime junkie, where can they find Conan Needs a Friend?
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend is available wherever you find your podcasts.
Crime Junkie is an Audio Chuck production. So, what do you think, Chuck? Do you approve?
Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace, yours. Here, our waters are splashing and rejuvenating. Our history is for seeing and experiencing. Our theme parks are for riding and sometimes flying. And our great outdoors are yours for exploring and restoring. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.
Oh, morning. How'd you sleep?
Amazing.
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 When did they get here?
I didn't even notice.
Mommy, I want pancakes.
Get the best sleep of your life with a little help from the experts at Ashley. Discover the all-new Tempur-Adapt Collection by Tempur-Pedic. Designed with body-conforming technology and motion absorption that helps minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt Collection at Ashley, in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.